For just the next few minutes, I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 1 as we think just for a few minutes about the wonderful name of Jesus. Matthew 1, 21 through 23, very familiar passage, often used at this time of the year as well as other times. But we look at what the Scripture says. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." That reminds us of something that he came to do, and that is to be the Savior, to save us from our sins. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. God always keeps his word, doesn't he? Saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." The name of Jesus is a wonderful name. There is no name like the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful in its dignity. I've met some dignitaries and some important people over the years, but there's no name that has the dignity of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 9 and 10, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name," above every name, "that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth." That pretty well covers it all, doesn't it? Dignity that is given to his name, honor, respect. His name has wonderful power manifested in it. When you think of the name of Jesus, think of the word power. Because he is God and he is all powerful. Matthew 28, 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now, who does this man think he is to say that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth? That's Jesus. Just another testimony to his deity. Luke 5:24, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins." Notice that. So that you'll know that he has the power to forgive sins. "He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house." You see, he healed the man with palsy, and Christ has the power to heal. And the healings that Jesus did were things that were symbolic. And every time he healed somebody, it was a picture of a spiritual healing that was greater than that, and that is the healing of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive sins. And he has the power to forgive sins. Wonderful salvation comes through his name. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, none of them. None of the religious leaders. None other name. No potentate, no priest, no leader of any religion. No name other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through his name. "For he shall save his people from their sins." That reminds us of something, and that is the need of salvation. He shall save us from our what? Our sins. That means we're all sinners and we all need saving. That's just the way it is. That's life. That's, we're eternal beings. We're going to live somewhere forever. And Jesus Christ came to save us. We are sinners. We owed a debt we couldn't pay, but he paid that debt. Romans 3, 11 and 12, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." That's not the normal thing. "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." There's not a perfect person in this building. Some of you wives just punched your husband. I saw you when I said that. There are no perfect persons in this building. We're all sinners. It's a simple, plain reality that no matter how good you are, you're still a sinner. You've still missed the mark. You've still fallen short of the glory of God. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. What was He doing? Bearing our sins on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. The Lord Jesus Christ doing that. The fact of it, the need of salvation. Thank God He offers it to everybody. I'm glad God offers salvation tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never received it, you've never been saved, God offers it to you tonight. He offers it to you. He offers it to everybody. Acts 10:43, to Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, I love this word, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. You have to believe and have faith and receive Christ, and then you have the remission, the forgiveness of all of your sins. And it's for anybody, whosoever. I love that word. Amen. And I'm glad that it's not for a limited few or a limited atonement. Jesus' blood was shed for everybody that they might be saved. The possession of it, 1 John 5:13, and I've quoted this a lot often, but we know that we know we're saved. These things have I written unto you that have believed. That have believed on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I know I have it tonight. You say that's arrogance. No, that's Bible. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have it tonight because of the authority of the Word of God. And I'm glad that it's through His name I have the possession of it. There's a lot of glory associated with the name of Jesus. A lot of glory. At the beginning of His life, glory was seen. Luke 2:9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. The wise men saw the star in the east, all of those different things. There was a lot of glory surrounding the birth of that little baby, not just any baby, but the virgin-born one, Son of God. And all of the luminaries, it seemed, were testifying that night, testifying that Jesus was coming to the earth. There was glory at the beginning of His ministry. After His baptism, the heavens opened up. He followed the Lord in baptism, not to be regenerated, not to be saved, but to set forth the illustration to fulfill all unrighteousness, to identify with what He had come for, that He was going to die and be buried and, thank God, come out of the grave and come out of the tomb. And the Spirit of God came upon Him like a dove. And the voice of God said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Boy, that's glorious, isn't it? God the Father said, "That's Him. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There was also glory at the close of His life, because He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He came out of the tomb, had His post-resurrection ministry, and then He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven?" In other words, He was saying, why are you looking up there as if you'll never see Him again? You'll never see that again. He ascended and He went to the right hand of the Father. There is a Jesus who is right now at the right hand of the Father. He's 100% alive. He has been there ever since the ascension, and the Lord Jesus Christ is there making intercession for us tonight. At the close of His life, the angels testified to where He was going. Glory in that name, that ascension, and then the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What glory that's going to be. I love those little depictions that were there on the DVD where they showed Christ and all of the brightness and luminiferousness of His glory, and all of the angels were around and about Him. That's nothing. Just wait till you see the real thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, the glory at His second coming. Matthew 26:64, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ are going to be raised first, and we which remain and alive, we're both going to be caught up together to meet them in the air, the clouds, to meet the Lord in there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day that's going to be, the resurrection and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there will be glory for eternity. Great glory for Him for all of eternity. Revelation 11:15. And there were great voices in heaven. Great voices. Saying the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. The hallelujah chorus. And He shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say hallelujah? Can Baptists say hallelujah? Made charismatics out of you just like that. Thank God He's going to reign forever and ever. And we will sing praises to His glory. I can tell you tonight that victory is guaranteed in His name. Through His name. 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul said, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." What victory? The victory over the guilt of sin, the debt of sin, the victory in life so that we can live the Christian life, the power and the way of escape over sin in our lives. The victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins forgiven. He has given us the victory through our Lord, one of His names, Jesus Christ. May I say to you and remind all of us that He should be the Lord of our life. A lot of people want the Savior, but they don't want the Lord. But He should be the Lord. And that means He's in charge. He's in control. We love Him. And we want to live for Him and do what He tells us to do. If He's Lord of your life tonight, you're going to be living according to this word by the grace of God. The victory through our Lord, Jesus. Christ, the anointed one, Christos, Jesus, the Savior. He has a wonderful name, doesn't He? All of those names. You could preach on every name they mentioned tonight individually and preach a whole message on that. Aren't you glad I didn't do that tonight? They warned me to preach a radio message. Dr. Barber got them started on that, you know. And that's a good practice. But there's no name like the name of Jesus. Do you know Him tonight? Are you living for Him? Is He the Lord of your life? Let's stand, please. We'll give you the opportunity to be saved. You may just be visiting tonight. You may live out of town. You may live in another state. I don't know. But friend, the most important thing for you is to come to Jesus. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Are you ready to meet God? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Or would you be eternally separated from God? I pray that you'd come tonight, step out and say, "I want to receive Christ. I believe and I receive Him as my Savior. I make Him tonight Lord of my life, my Lord and Savior." You say, "Preacher, I don't think I can hold out." Listen, you make Him Lord, you receive Him as Savior. He'll take care of all that. You just do what's right, and that is to accept Christ. Don't leave this building tonight. We're not trying to make a Baptist out of you or a member of this church. We just want you to be saved. We want you to be ready in case tonight you meet your Maker, that you're ready to meet God. Eternity, my dear friend, listen to me. Eternity is a long, never-ending time. And you need to be saved. You don't need to slip out in eternity without Jesus. And believers, would you search your heart just for a moment? Just search your heart and ask God. Right there in the quietness of where you're sitting or standing, and say, "Dear God, if there's anything you want to show me about my own life tonight, would you help me to see it and help me to do something about it?" Father, bless now the invitation. We know that Jesus came to be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, to save His people from their sins. We're all sinners, all of us. We need a Savior. Thank you for providing that Savior. And how we pray tonight that Those that are here without Christ, who've never been saved, they may believe in Him, may believe about Him, may believe intellectually, but they've never received Him as their personal Lord and Savior. We know it's more than a commitment to Him. It's more than a commitment to His teachings. We must be born again. And I pray tonight that they would be saved, the spiritual new birth that they need. May we, as Your children, be sure that You are Lord of every aspect, every facet, every phase, every part of our lives, the secret places as well as the public. In Jesus' name.